Okay, I guess we start. So, Happy New Year to all of you. I guess most of you know me. So my name is Flo, for those who not know me. Today I substitute Professor Rischke, who is on a conference this week. So I will also be here on Friday. And today I want to review some aspects of the 2PI effective action. And I want to summarize some things that you already know from the last lecture of last year, I guess. And then we want to finish this section today. So basically, so are there questions on this? No, I don't think so. Okay. So first, I want to say something about the motivation. So first of all, you all know this gamma of J. So actually, it is not a gamma of J, it's a gamma of phi. Sorry. So you know this functional, it generates all one particle irreducible diagrams, and it resums the effects of the, in general, non-vanishing one point function of a theory. So I think Dirk did everything about some scalar theory, I guess, some phi to the four theory or something like that. I think it was at the end of the last chapter in this lecture. And you all know the definition of the connected two-point function. It can be written in terms of these one-particle irreducible functions. And you see it is composed out of a two-point function and one-point functions. And in order to resum all the quantum effects of a two-point function, it is obviously not sufficient to work with this guy, because this guy only resums the effects of these two one-point functions. So in order to get the full information about G, you need a generalization of gamma of, again, gamma of phi, not of J. And you can generalize this again for in order to resum three-point functions, four-point functions, and so on and so forth. So there's a whole family of NPI effective actions. And the starting point is to introduce the generalization of the generating functional of all Green's functions. And then from this, you define this Schwinger functional, that this was this W of J and K. And this is nothing else than the logarithm of Z and K. And from this logarithm, you can now, or from W, you can now calculate the functional derivatives with respect to the sources. And I want to recapitulate these formulas because we will need it today. So, do you need to copy some parts of this? No, okay. Calculate.
I have a quick question first. Why do we want to resum the effect of the 2p?
I mean, so again, do I have to repeat the question?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be good if you.
Okay, so the question was, why do we need to resum the effects of the two-point function? So in general, I mean, a theory is completely solved if you know all informations about all endpoint functions.
Yes.
And so, I mean, this is the motivation.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing more, nothing less. Okay, so we calculate the functional. So I just give you the final results because you already did this. This is nothing else than the definition of phi of x jk. And Professor Rischke writes this as the other phi, beautiful phi. Okay, and then there's the functional derivative with respect to k. K, x, and y. And this was nothing else than 1/2 g of x and y plus phi x phi y. Okay, good. And now the idea is, so I mean, it is quite quite the same next step as in the definition of gamma of phi. So what you do is you introduce a Legendre transformation. In this case, you make a dual Legendre transformation with respect to J and K. So it's just changing the base of your coordinates. Yeah? In this case, you have J and K, and now you switch to phi and G. And this is basically the definition of the 2pi effective action. So I underline it because this is important. This is just the Legendre transformation gamma of phi and g. And this is defined as wjk minus jx minus 1/2 and then kxy phi x phi y, and then there's an additional term which can be written as a trace. The trace. So for more complicated theories than just a simple scalar theory, this is not only a trace with respect to the integrals, so to the space-time coordinates, this is a trace with respect to all indices, okay? So for example, if you have fermions, you have spinor indices, maybe color, flavor, and so on and so forth, and this trace is with respect to all indices. Okay, and this is the 2pi effective action. Good. And now you can derive such stationary conditions, like minimizing this gamma k. And this is done by just calculating the functional derivatives of gamma of phi and g with respect to phi and g. Okay? And this gives you the following conditions. Two of them, so both derivatives. So the first one, again, I give you the final result. It was just minus j of x. So this is the thing that you obtain if you only have gamma of phi. Okay, now there's an additional term.
Don't we miss the part in the definition of gamma? There's no g, k.
No, I don't think so. I mean, what you do is,
because we have five.
I don't think so. I hope that my notes are correct, but I think this should be correct. This should be the same as Professor Rischke introduced. Did I mess something up? Or is this the same that Professor Rischke wrote in the blackboard? Right. Oh, this must be the same. I mean, this is just the calculation of the Legendre transformation. I mean, you know this from gamma of phi. This is just this part without the last term and the second line. So the first two terms are just gamma of phi. And now you have additional terms arising from K and, okay, and the trace term. OK? Good. OK, and then there's the second term. This is just, I introduce a new integration variable, Z. And this is, and there's a contraction over this new variable. And then there's also a second condition, gamma of phi and g, functional derivative with respect to x and y. And this is nothing else than one minus one half the source k. Okay, and now for the physical theory, j and k go to zero. So these derivatives are zero for the one-point function and the two-point function that minimize gamma. Okay, so I don't want to write this down. The next important equation is the following, or are the following two. So there's a lengthy calculation. You can rewrite this this gamma of phi and g, and I want to show you this. So not the calculation, but the final result, because we need it today. So first of all, I have to clean the blackboard. So are there some questions so far? I mean, this is just formal stuff, just calculating these Legendre transformations. And now we do some further calculations to bring everything in a form that we can work with. I mean, you see it. Okay, we can go backwards. You see it from this equation. So, g and k are function of each other in some sense. So, you can re-express the whole stuff. So, I mean, it's the same thing here. If you take the derivative of w with respect to phi and g, in your words, you would get zero. But this is not the case, because you can insert a one in the sense of the chain rule. So there's a dependence between j and k and phi and g. So phi and g are independent of each other, and j and k are independent of each other. But these two guys depend on phi and g, and vice versa. Okay. And then you get these contributions. So I think you should have done these calculations, yes, to obtain these equations. 3 weeks off. Okay. Good. And okay, now there's a lengthy calculation. I mean, what you did is you used this starting point, so the definition of everything, and then you inserted the definition of W in terms of this Z I started with. And then you did a lengthy calculation. You exponentiated these two terms, put everything together, and then you obtained a functional that only depends on the difference of this phi and the quantum field phi, and you expressed this as an excitation field or fluctuation field. You called it psi, okay? And then you expanded the classical action. I mean, you get the classical action, which is contained here, and you Taylor expanded this classical action in terms of this psi, okay, and then you obtained the following result. So this is just formal calculation. I repeat this. So you started with phi g. So basically with this definition, and then you end up with the following expressions, or maybe I make some dots here, so there's some calculation within, and then this is the classical action, okay, minus trace log of g inverse minus one half trace of d inverse of phi. You remember this d inverse was defined as the functional derivatives of s with respect to phi. Okay, minus 1 plus an object called gamma 2. It also depends on phi and g. And this gamma 2 has the following form. It is quite lengthy. minus 1/2 trace kg plus 1/2 trace d inverse of phi. So I mean, this is more or less an obvious matrix multiplication notation, right? So the trace is again in this simple scalar model just with respect to space-time indices in the sense of integrals. But as I already mentioned, it can be extended to internal indices. And there's a lengthy last term, which is the log normalization constant functional integral with respect to this fluctuation field psi x psi of x. And then there's also a new definition, gamma tilde. I give this definition in a moment. It is nothing else than the difference between gamma of phi and g and the classical action. I write it down in a moment. Psi of x is y, also depends on phi, minus k xy, okay, plus, okay, I can finish this here, plus si okay. So now we have some new objects on the blackboard. So first of all, this SI. This SI is nothing else than in principle, it's just a series of higher derivatives of the classical action with respect to phi. So this contains the third term of the Taylor expansion with respect to psi, the fourth term, and so on and so forth. So if you just start with just classical or with the usual phi to the fourth theory, so this would just contain the third and the fourth derivative with respect to the fields, to phi, and then that's it. And if you have a theory with infinitely many terms, so phi to the sixth, to the eighth, and so on and so forth, all these higher derivatives are also contained there. And then there is this gamma psi, gamma tilde. I write it without arguments. Well, maybe it's better with phi of g is defined as gamma of phi and g minus the classical action. Okay, good. So we will need this expression later, so we keep this in mind. And then there was also an important relation that we also need later. So I think this was then the last thing that you did with Dirk. You can calculate now this functional derivative again. So from here we know that this is minus 1/2 k of x and y. Okay, but with this new expression over there, we can obtain another result. So this is minus g inverse of x and y minus 1/2 d inverse of x and y and phi plus d gamma 2 by dg of x and y. And this is, from the other blackboard, we know this. Okay, so now this equation gives us the chance to express k in terms of these objects. Okay, and we will need this later. This will be important. So this is, I need new chalk. So this is important, make it into a box. K of x and y is minus G inverse of X and Y plus D inverse of X, Y, and Phi minus 2 D gamma 2 of Phi and G with respect to G. So this will be important. Okay? Good. And so now for the rest of this lecture, we want to motivate that this gamma 2 contains the sum of all 2pi vacuum diagrams. So this last term here contains the sum of all 2pi vacuum diagrams. Okay? This is the task for today. So, yeah. Good. So now we can start with the lecture. Okay, after cleaning the blackboard. Are there questions so far? I guess this was just a summary of the last lecture of last year. Instead of using these results to calculate further results, we now want to consider the problem from another point of view. Basically, we go back to the beginning and define a 1pi effective action. And we will show that this 1pi effective action has basically the same properties as the 2pi effective action, and then we will use the 1pi effective action. Okay, so we fix k, so the source, k of x and y. So this is a bit problematic because we don't fix x and y, but we fix k. Okay? So k depends on x and y, but we don't allow that our functional varies with k. So we have a fixed k. Okay? And define the following object, gamma k, so this index k just means fixed k, okay? So and this is just the definition for 1pi effective action. Okay? And now we can calculate the functional derivative of this guy with respect to k. Keeping phi constant. And so the first term, so this is basically your question from 5 minutes ago. So now we use this first term and make the following calculation because we have a fixed k. So this is just j k dj of z, j of z. So this is just a chain rule. Okay, with fixed phi plus phi minus, and then we need the last term, so d jz by dk. And then we have phi of z, fixed phi. But now we remember that this phi is nothing else than dw by dj. And so you see, because of the opposite sign, so this last term cancels against the first term. And what we get is just dw by dk at fixed phi. But this is the definition, so this is what we started with today. So this is just 1/2 g of x and y plus phi of x, phi of y. Okay, good. Now, the next step is we can make a second Legendre transformation. We can now make a so in this step we trade J against phi, and now we can make a second Legendre transformation in which we trade K against G. So this is instead of Legendre transforming both variables at the same time, we can make a successive Legendre transformation. This is of course possible. Okay, now we define a gamma bar of phi and g as gamma k of phi minus z1, z2, k, z1, z2, okay, good. And now we insert everything we know. So we know the definition of gamma k. It's just w of j and k minus integral over x, j of x, phi of x, minus, okay. Now we can do this calculation here. We know the definition, and we just calculate this term here. What you get is the following. So it is just k times phi minus 1/2 trace kj. Okay, but this is nothing else than the definition of gamma of phi and g. So you see that a successive Legendre transformation gets you the same result as Legendre transforming both variables at the same time. Okay, and now we have to remember some parts from the previous chapter. So from the discussion of the 1PI effective action, I will just refer to these results. So first of all, we have to think about what this gamma of k means. So this gamma of k is just the 1PI effective action for a special kind of classical action, okay? Gamma k of phi is 1PI effective action for a theory defined by the following classical action. So this classical action is called Sk of phi, and it is just Sk plus 1/2 xy phi of x phi of y. Okay? Good. And now, so we also, so this is now a result from some of the last lectures, from the discussion of the 1PI effective action. There you derived that a classical action, or better say the 1PI effective action gamma k, can be written as the sum of the classical action plus some other part. Okay? So recall that gamma k phi. So the 1pi effective action can be written as the classical action plus some part you called gamma tilde of k depending on phi. And you also derived an expression for gamma k, so this expression is quite lengthy. Try to write it down with gamma k tilde of phi. So this is now, let me see. Okay. So this is now the logarithm of n psi minus 1/2. Oh, okay, it's better to start in the new line. X minus 1/2. And now there are several terms of this Taylor expansion of the classical action. So there's this fluctuation field, psi d inverse of x, y of phi minus k of x and y. So sorry, there is also another psi of depending on space-time variable y. And then there's this part si, so all interaction terms of the classical action, so third derivatives, fourth derivatives, and so on and so forth, minus psi of x d gamma tilde k of phi d phi of x. Okay, so if you don't remember this equation, you have to go back to the second chapter of this lecture, and there you derived this equation. So this was a kind of lengthy calculation. And what you also did last section, you derived a loop expansion of this gamma k tilde. So I guess you remember it. You draw lots of diagrams with loops and also and so on and so forth. And we will also do this today. So again, I have to clean the blackboard. Okay, good. Okay, now loop expansion of gamma tilde so this is basically a result of the last section minus 1/2 trace log inverse of phi minus k. And now, so this was this first term. So these are basically these plasmon ring diagrams. Maybe you remember them. Okay. And then there are diagrams of this shape. Okay. Okay, so this should be correct now. And then there are three more diagrams. So these are the three loop diagrams. So okay, now there's this one. Basketball diagram, okay, and then the last one, okay, and then plus four and higher loops. Okay, so now, so these are these plasmon rings, you remember them, these just the closed loops. Okay, so these diagrams of this shape, this such one loop, and then you have, for example, this diagram. The next one would have four legs, and then six legs, and so on and so forth. Okay, you know this. Good. So this is the two-loop contribution. Two-loop contribution. And this is the three loop contribution. So this is basically a result from also from the second section, or the section about this 1PI effective action. And each of these internal lines here, so I give you the Feynman rules. So each internal line corresponds to the following propagator. We call it dk of phi. And this is just defined as d inverse of phi minus k inverse. OK? So these are the internal lines. Each vertex corresponds to, okay, now you have, okay, this is not so. So you have the three-point vertices of psi with phi inserted. So this is the three-point function, and there is also the four-point function of these psi's of your fluctuation field. And these vertices come from this S interaction, okay? And what we see is that all diagrams except this one, and that one are 2PI, okay? You see this one, we have three internal lines, so if we cut two of them, this diagram does not decompose into two disjoint diagrams. Okay, but here, for example, if you cut here and here, then you have two disjoint diagrams. So this guy, and that guy are not 2PI. So all diagrams except, okay, now I have to draw them again. So today we will draw a lot of pictures. This one. This one. And this one. R2pi. Okay. Good. So what's the time? Okay, I would say we now make a break, and then after the break we finish the discussion.